Blog Talk Radio.
Of questions and answers hosted by your man T. Wash. A couple things I want to talk about on today's show. I want to recap the NBA Finals Game 5. The Warriors actually lived to fight another day, but they sustained a big loss in the process. A big loss. But my man KD did give them a spark, so you can't live, you know, you can live with that. I also want to talk a little bit about the NBA draft. Tonight's game 6, big crucial game. Can the Raptors close it out? That's going to be something that we're going to find out tonight here at about 9 o'clock. Also want to discuss Marvel's Dark Phoenix movie. It was crap, but I want to talk about that a little bit. The first thing I want to do is I have to give a shout out to my man Bushwick Bill, who died June 9th at the age of 52. In my opinion, Bushwick and the Ghetto Boys were pioneers of gangster rap behind N.W.A., who started it all. N.W.A. started the gangster rap trend, and in my opinion, the Ghetto Boys is like one of my favorite groups. You know, they are right there with them as far as the gangster rap genre. I want to play something for you guys to hear, a little bit about Bushwick. He basically telling the story about how he is and why he was and the way he was. So I want you guys to check this out.
What happened to mine?
I read about that.
Yo, I was a very ignorant.
Never clear.
Yes, I was very ignorant because there was a lot of problems. That's why I'm telling y'all to keep your mind free, because there's a lot of problems, right? Now, here I am out there, right, where there's no one telling me what to do, but I imprisoned myself. Locked up in a whirl of emotion, you know, where I felt like I was limited to this, that, and the other, and I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, so I decided, bang, and get over with. Then I'm worry-free, but God had a different plan, because they had pronounced me dead, but I'm here. You know what I'm saying? It's not because I'm a rapper. It's not because I'm Bushwick Bill. It's because God has a purpose for my life, and I understand it now, because I'm here talking to y'all, letting y'all know that you know what I'm saying, that it's, you don't imprison yourself in things, man. You know what I'm saying? I set up the whole situation. I loaded the gun, I cocked it, and I made her shoot me. She didn't want to do it, but I made her know it was either her or me. It was either her, the baby, or me, so she had a choice. And she took it. You know, but God had a different choice, because I could have been dead and never made it here. You would have never got to hear how it happened or how I felt about it. That's why I'm telling you, don't imprison yourself, because I wish I could take it all back. You know what I mean? Because now I'm walking around here like a cyclops.
And see, that's the type of stuff he dealt with. You know, he had a stressful life, man. The guy's only like 3'8", you know. So he had to deal with that, you know, deal with the ridicule and all that. And it's like he couldn't really handle being famous. So he actually had his girl, you know, he wanted his girl to kill him. He gave her the gun. And like he said, he basically told her it was him or her and the kid. And, you know, she did what she did, man. She did what she had to do. She felt threatened. She shot him in the eye. If you're a Ghetto Boys fan like me, then you probably have that album, We Can't Be Stopped, Ghetto Boys. It has him on the cover being wheeled in the hospital on a stretcher with Willie D and Scarface walking next to him. And you can see his eye. And he look all damaged. I don't want to say that's the real actual situation, but you know, they basically showing what happened on that album cover. So Bush Bill, you know, he was a troubled soul, but he ended up having pancreatic cancer stage 4, and he found out like real late. So, you know, he spent his last days, you know, basically in pain and in agony. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Bushwick Bill. Like I said, one of the pioneers of gangster rap, in my opinion. Ghetto Boys, We Can't Be Stopped. One of my favorite albums of all time. One of my favorite solo Bushwick albums is Little Big Man. Came out in 1992. I still remember that. I was a sophomore in high school. That's back when, you know, music was real. Music was real. But let me go ahead and get off into this Golden State Game 5 recap. Man. Well, I'm going to start off by saying that the Toronto Raptors fans, they, like, really pissed me off. I mean, really? You going to cheer for this man to get hurt? They cheered for KD. You know, KD hurt, and they cheered. Man, towards Achilles, and they cheered. And I know they cheered because he's on his way to busting their tails. I mean, the dude had 11 points. He hit his first three shots worth these, and he made them all. So he was on his way to a 30-point night, basically on one leg. And I believe those fans, they cheered, you know, just to be assholes. And then they cheered because they knew that they were out of the woods. Because if Kevin Durant gave them 30-some points, they win that game going away. They don't just end up winning by 1 point the way they did. They win that game going away. If KD, you know, wouldn't have got hurt. But Durant basically tears his Achilles in the win. And in my opinion, GM Bob Myers and the Warriors organization should take the blame for KD going down. I mean, they were so desperate to get back in the series that they allowed KD to play. And, you know, that competitive nature, this is the type of time where you got to, you know, look at what's best for the player. Don't let them play. I believe they shouldn't have let them play. Because I'm starting to believe that instead of the calf strain they were saying it was, he may have partially tore that Achilles against the Houston Rockets. Yeah, it may not have been just a regular old calf strain. I mean, for it to just give out the way it did. But even if it was a calf strain, that could lead to the Achilles tendon popping. Because, you know, basketball is a game where you got to cut, plant, jump. You put all kinds of pressure on that Achilles tendon. And sooner or later, it's going to go. I mean, it's a freak accident. One of the most freakiest parts of the body that gets damaged easily. I mean, hell, we could just be walking down the street and it could just pop for no reason. I mean, it's like a rubber band. Basically a rubber band that allows you to move your, you know, move your foot in a circular motion or up and down fashion. And I believe that the wear and tear is what popped it. And then, you know, you bringing them back, and they played them a ton of minutes. I mean, they gave him like a 3-minute break. Other than that, he played like basically the whole first quarter and, you know, part of the second quarter until the injury happened. So it's like they didn't have him on minutes restriction, you know, which I think they should. I think they should have had him on a minutes restriction. I don't understand why they didn't. But, you know, like I said, I blame those guys, man. You know, this type of situation where they need to protect the player from himself, like I said. You know, now he's likely to miss all of next season, which means he's probably going to take that $31 million option to stay in Golden State instead of exploring free agency like the plan was. I mean, in my opinion, it would make sense. I mean, you got hurt. You got a $31 million option sitting on the table right there to take, you know, from Golden State. Honestly, don't know if a team's going to give him a max deal, but then, you know, there's rumors out there saying that the Knicks may still be willing to give him a max deal because they're just so desperate to have a star there. They may still give him a max deal, you know, where it'd be basically be a red shirt year. He'd just be sitting out in New York. But then who's going to go there with him? Who wants to go there and be the guy? Why they waiting on KD to come back? And then another thing, KD's 31. So he's going to be coming back a year older. And most guys that come back from those Achilles tears, their game not the same no more. I mean, I got to say, probably the best-looking person who came back off of Achilles tear was Dominique Wilkins back in the day. And he wasn't a human highlight film the way he was before it, but he still was productive. You know, guys like Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay started off great in the NBA. I mean, I'm not saying he's a scrub or anything. He's a good player still, but he's just not as good and as athletic as he used to be. He's mainly a jump shooter now if you look at Rudy Gay play. Like when he played with the Spurs, he shoots a lot of jump shots now. Whereas back in the day, his UConn days, and when he came, you know, first came in the league, Rudy Gay drove it to the basket. He shot jumpers. He had all-around game. So it's like once you tear that Achilles, your game is not really the same anymore. So I'm curious to see how KD going to come back. And believe me, I want him to come back at full health because he's my favorite player in the NBA. Now that Allen Iverson is gone, KD's my guy that I root for. And I hope he comes back, you know, off that Achilles and play at a high level, play the way we used to see him play. But like I said, I don't know, man. That's a tough one to come back from. That has to be the toughest injury for a basketball player to sustain, is having a torn Achilles tendon. So who knows how he's going to come back. And so, like I said, who's willing to give him a max deal other than the Knicks? I'm going to say the Knicks are desperate enough to still do it. So Golden State might be getting what they want. They might get him to come back, you know, take that $31 million option and then talk him into, you know, doing an extended deal to stay at Golden State. I say the odds of him going, you know, staying at Golden State are better now that he's hurt than they would have been if he wouldn't have been hurt. I think it was already set up for him to go to New York and Kyrie to go with him. Either New York team, whether it's the Brooklyn Nets or the New York Knicks. So I want to know what you guys think about this. What do you think about the NBA Finals? Do you think the Warriors are at, you know, at blame for playing KD? How do you think the Warriors are going to do tonight? You think they're going to defend their home court? Do you think the Raptors are going to go in there and take game six and win the NBA championship, close it out? Tell me what you think about it. Call in 1-347-843-4939. Let your voice be heard on these radio airways. 1-347-843-4939. Let me know what you think about this. Do you think KD is going to stay in Golden State? He's going to take the $31 million option that they have on the table already? Or do you think a team's desperate enough to still take him in free agency? Like I said, I think he's going to stay in Golden State. I think he's going to take the $31 million option. He already knows the medical staff. They'll be able to nurse him, you know. Well, see, that's kind of contradictory because, I mean, he know the medical staff, but then at the same time, I think this medical staff is at fault. I think that they told KD what he wanted to hear. I think they knew he shouldn't have played. And then, you know, his word coming out that I guess the organization was complaining, you know, well, Klay Thompson's out there with a strained, you know, strained thigh, and DeMarcus Cousins is out there playing hurt, and Kevon Looney's taking shots and out there playing with a separated shoulder. Why is KD not playing? And I think all that stuff got to him. And then, you know, if anybody know KD, KD just loves the ball. He wants to play. He wants to be out there. You just have to, you know, got to roll with the punches, man, and not allow this man to play. I think it's been his best interest to not allow him to play. Just let him sit out. I mean, you lose, you lose. You know, so the whole situation reeks of being desperate. It reeks of being desperate. And it just sucked because I'm scared KD's not going to be the same anymore when he comes back from this injury. I don't think he's going to be the same. I think he's going to be something different. His game's going to be different. I mean, he's still taller than everybody. He's still going to be able to get his shot over everybody, but is he going to be explosive anymore? I mean, not saying that KD's a above-the-rim player anyway. I mean, he can go above the rim, but you know, him being able to jump, is that going to affect his jump shot? Him being able to handle the ball and go off dribble and go to the basket, is it going to affect that? I mean, all these are questions that's going to have to be answered after a full season off. He's going to be off a full season. So I'm just curious to see where that's going to be. Like I said, guys, if you want to talk about any of this, talk about KD. Do you think the Warriors were at fault for him tearing his Achilles? Recap game five. How do you feel about game five? Do you think the Splash Brothers can continue that, you know, what they did in game five in tonight's game? How do you feel about tonight's game? Do you think the Raptors are going to go into Oakland and close it out? Or you think Golden State is going to defend their home court and force a game seven back to Toronto? Tell me what you think about it. 1-347-843-4939. Now, I want to play something for you guys while I take a quick break. I want to play something for you guys that I know is going to sound very familiar, especially to a lot of you guys and gals that's like my age. You know, this is a famous song where, you know, Bushwick is a part of, and everybody knows this song. Check it out.
I sit alone in my four-cornered room, staring at candles.
Who got it, man?
We on the radio, Duke? Oh, all right. The feature's here. At night I can't sleep. I toss and turn. Candlesticks in the dark. Visions of bodies being burned. Four walls closing in, getting bigger. I'm paranoid, sleeping with my finger on the trigger. My mother's always stressing I ain't living right. But I ain't going out without a fight. See, every time my eyes close, I start sweating and blood starts coming out my nose. Is somebody watching the act? But I don't know who it is, so I'm watching my back. I can see them when I'm deep in the covers. When I awake, I hear a car burning rubber. He owns a black hat like I own. A black suit and a cane like my own. Some might say, take a chill, B. But I can't, G, cause there's somebody trying to kill me. I'm popping in the grip when the wind blows. Every 20 seconds got me peeping out my window. Investigating the joint for traps. Checking my telephone for taps. I'm staring at the woman on the corner. It's messed up when your mind is playing tricks on you. I make big money. I drive big cars. Everybody know me. It's like I'm a movie star, but late at night, something ain't right. I feel I'm being tailed by the same sucker's headlights. Is it that move that I ran off the block? Or is it that clown last week that I shot? Or is it the one I beat for $5,000? Thought he had came, but it was gold, metal, flower.
All right, that was one of them classic tunes from the Ghetto Boys. It's kind of a long track, so I didn't get to the end of Bushwick because I see I got a call. But Bushwick, he's the last verse. And like I said, that's the song that everybody knows, the Ghetto Boys. Bushwick had one of the most famous verses on it. And as I said before, I look at those guys as pioneers of the gangster rap genre behind N.W.A., of course, because like I said, they started it all. There's an answer. Who's calling?
Yo, it's Gary. What's going on?
Not much, Gary. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I wanted to first say the rest in peace, Bushwick Bill. Like you said, you pioneer the new kids. You know, don't know nothing about them. Some people might remember from like episodes of Martin, but of course, from around from the 90s. And the Ghetto Boys and everything. But I wanted to talk about Golden State because there's no way they should have let him play. But my theory on it is, number one, like you said, I think they were desperate. And then number two, I think that they felt there was no way he was coming back to Golden State and re-signing. So I think it was like they kind of just used them. You know what I mean? Because like you said, they was desperate. You know, they were already down in the series. So I felt like he, you know, there was no way he was going to resign with them. So they just put him out there to help him, help their team. And number two, I think they lied about the injury from the get-go. I don't think it was ever – I think what did they say? It was like a calf strain or something?
Yeah, strain calf.
But I'm not sure that that's what it was. And all of it will come out shortly. And it amazes me how people still say that because he's injured now that it's a done deal, that he's going to re-sign with him. Well, you know, if they were supposed to protect him, it's one thing for them to not let you play for your own good. You might be mad at them and everything or whatever, but it's another thing they gave you the okay or whatever, and they're using you, and you end up injuring yourself, and it's like they should have protected you. They should have protected him from himself. So I think that there's no way he's re-signing with Golden State, and I think they're totally in the wrong. And I think that – who was that after in that post-game interview? Was it the GM, Golden State GM or whatever?
Yeah, Bob Myers.
Like he was all concerned and sad. And
yeah.
I think that's all a show. You know, he had to do some damage control and get in front of it. But, his mom, Katie's mom already spoke on it. It's going to be a firestorm, and that's my opinion. There's no way he's going to resign. As far as the game itself, I'm not going to lie. I think if you – when Kawhi went on that 10-0 run in the fourth quarter, I think it was like with 6 minutes left. I don't care who you are. You thought it was over because he was having an epic moment. And it was a good game, man. Splash Brothers, they came down, hit a couple of threes.
Yeah, I believe Nick Nurse screwed that up.
You know what, though? You know what? You can say that, but at the same time, you know, he knows his team. He's made all the right moves so far. He's out-coached Milwaukee's Budenholzer. So I give him the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, they work, yeah. So I'm okay with that. But, yeah, like I said, it was a good game. But, like I said, it's going to be a firestorm. It's just the first of what's next to come with this KD situation. And I know you go back with KD for a while, so I know you have your opinions on it and stuff. But I think that's the honest opinion. I think they lied about his injury at first. And I think they, you know, should be reprimanded from sending him back out there, man.
You know what,
Gary?
I completely agree with you.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. I didn't want to hold up your line or stop your line or anything, but that's just my two cents. I'll continue to listen, man. God bless, man.
All right, God bless. Yeah, Gary's right. I completely agree with him on everything he said. At first, I thought it was just strictly a calf strain, too. But then you come to think about it, when it happened against Houston, he went grabbing at his Achilles. He, went down there to that area. So he might have partially torn that Achilles, and the doctors probably told him it wasn't bad enough. You know, he could let it heal, you know, maybe like 4 weeks of healing, a couple weeks of healing it, and, you know, it'd be all right. But, you know, if you partially tear the Achilles and you try to play again, it's going to eventually give all the way out. And as he said, Bob Myers, that's damage control. He's up there boohooing and crying. You know, and like I said before when I started the show, I do put the blame on Bob Myers and the Golden State organization because KD, he loves the ball. That's what he want to do. He want to play basketball. That's all he want to do. They should have protected him himself, even if he giving them the okay, you know, saying, hey, I'll play. If you tell me I can play, I'll play. They should have protected that man because now, in my opinion, and I hate to say this because KD's my guy. Like I said, ever since Allen Iverson retired, Kevin Durant is my guy. It's going to be hard to come back and be yourself from an Achilles injury. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins came back from an Achilles injury. You see how he looked. I mean, granted, he never was really a leaper, but it's like he's moving slower than he already was. Dominique Wilkins, he came back. He wasn't a human highlight film anymore, you know? That's the type of injury that grounds you. And, you know, KD game is predicated on driving, slashing, dribbling, cutting, jumping. Is he going to be able to do that anymore? And that's just hard for me to figure out. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that anymore. And like Gary said, it's going to be a firestorm. And I think Wanda, you know, his mom, she already came out and basically said that she felt like her son wasn't, you know, cared for properly. And basically, he shouldn't have been out there. And I'm completely with her. He shouldn't have been out there. And, you know, like I said, as far as those Raptors fans, man, I mean, they really pissed me off. I mean, it's cheering that the man got hurt because the man was on his way to busting their tails on one leg. And once he got hurt, they knew they was out of the woods. So they cheered for that man being hurt. And it was a real class act, you know, class act for the Toronto players, you know, Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, you know, those Danny Green telling them to stop. And why would you cheer for somebody to get hurt, man? This man, he out there giving his all. KD was a warrior yesterday, the other day when he played. He was literally a warrior. He went out there and played knowing the risk. I mean, I wish he wouldn't have took the risk because I still think that there's a chance he may, even though they did him like that, that's $31 million that he could just be sitting there on the bench collecting from Golden State. He don't have to tell them he's going to re-sign with them. If they dumb enough to give him the year option at $31 million, if he want to really get back at him, he could take the $31 million, sit on the bench, and then leave next year. That's the way you get back at him. But, you know, like I said, KD, he got to take some of the blame too because he went out there. I believe he know he shouldn't have went out there, but that's the competitiveness. He see his team is losing. They need him desperately. So KD went out there. Questions and answers. Who's calling?
What's up with you, T?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, man. Right. It was partially his fault because, I mean, hey, that's your body. You know what I'm saying? You can feel your body better than anybody else's. If the doctors told him, hey, man, yeah, you can play, he knew something. I can't believe he didn't know anything at all. You know what I'm saying? It's not all the organization's fault, it's some. But like I said, you know your body. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
I wouldn't mind Toronto winning only because of the clown. Only reason. You know what I'm saying? But in our reality, not for the for that individual, not KD, but the clown. It's almost, you know what I'm saying, like karma because he got hurt. And Golden State won, went on to win. Now it's the other way around. You see what I'm saying? And, karma is something, man. You know what I'm saying? I hate it. I hate it for KD because that's my guy. You know what I'm saying? That is my guy. You know, but, hey, man, like I said, you can't put it all on the organization. You know, for all these people that's out there saying that, you know, hey, man, it's the organization's fault. It's some of their fault, but it's also his. Because like you said, hey, he loves the game. For somebody that really loves the game and that's what they are, that's what they got. Hey, that's your life, man. You love it. You know something. You feel your body. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I can feel
exactly
his mother in the way she... I can feel his mother and exactly what she's saying. You know, that's her baby. Hey, mother's going to stick up for their children. You know what I'm saying? But at the same token, come on. You can't put that all on the organization or the company that your son plays for. She should have asked her son, hey, you didn't feel a tug the first time.
Yeah.
The very first time. You know what I'm saying? As a mother, she should have been Hey, baby, what's wrong? Did you feel it tough? Where did you feel it?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you about tonight's game. Do you think the Warriors are going to be able to hold them off and force a game seven? Or do you think Toronto's going to close it out? Toronto and, as you call them, the clown. Are they going to be able to close them out tonight?
You know what? This is going to be the toughest game of the series, but it's going to go the same way that I've been predicting all this time. If it's anything, if it's anywhere near close like the first and the second and the third game, Toronto going to win. Anytime it's close, if Golden State ain't blew nobody out, especially a good defensive team, before halftime, yeah, especially when they 3 weeks, you ain't running on 4 wheels. You got only 3 wheels. You can only go so far on 3 wheels.
Yeah, the thing that's killing Golden State, man, is they're not getting any production out of their bench at all. Shaun Livingston's older. Andre Iguodala, he's done now. I mean, you're not getting the spark out of him. Remember, he's the finals MVP before, but you're not getting nothing out of him anymore. DeMarcus Boogie Cousins showed up again in the last game, you know, getting 14-6. So he showed up in the last game. They need him to do that big time tonight, and it's messed up. I think that, last game they made 20 threes. They shot 20 for 42 in three-pointers as a team. They're going to have to do that tonight again, too. I believe Klay's going to have to hit about 7 of them. Steph might have to hit about 6 or 7 of them. And Draymond Green might have to hit a couple. Iguodala might have to hit a couple. But I think they're going to need between 17 and 20 threes to have a chance to win tonight's game. Because Toronto just has too many weapons, and their bench is better. They're getting production out of Serge Ibaka and Fred VanVleet on the regular. And the Warriors not getting any production off their bench.
I don't know about on a regular, man. I look at
no,
like
they
this.
Are on a regular.
That Toronto's bench is showing up more than Golden State's. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I ain't gonna say on a regular like that. Because Serge Ibaka and the only bench player to me that's really doing something and showing up on a consistent basis is VanVleet.
No, sir. I guess you haven't really been paying attention, Jay. Serge been balling, man.
Serge Ibaka ain't been there every game.
Almost.
Yeah, I've been paying attention.
The last two, he's been there.
Yeah, but
and he's providing a spark defensively. He's clogging that paint up. So he's doing something every game for them. He don't have to remember, Serge plays defense too.
Yeah, and that's what he's been doing. Now, I thought you were talking about strictly offensively.
No, but he gave him 15 last game.
Yeah,
so
that's
what I'm saying. He's giving them something. Golden State bench not giving them anything. That's the difference.
Well, they playing. You got to look at it like this too. They playing against a great defensive team. They playing
Toronto, one of the best in the league.
Yeah. Some people just look at the finals, or some people just look at, you know, they don't follow the season all the way through like a lot of good fans do. You know what I'm saying? You got to remember, they swept Golden State this season during the regular season.
Yeah, they did. One of the only teams to do it.
And one of those games was without the clown.
Yeah, he didn't play. 113-92.
And one of those games that they won was without Steph. You see what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Hey, you can look at it either way. It's more than one way to skin a cat. And, you know, But I just don't, me personally, I just don't think it's their year. I mean, as far as Durant going somewhere, I don't know if he's going to go anywhere now.
I don't either. I think he's going to opt in to take that $31
million. Yeah, I think he's going to stay. You know,
I mean,
we talked about on your last show. I think it was certain situations, and we never came up with this situation because we weren't looking for it. But I think he's going to stay now, you know, because he took a pay cut to keep certain individuals there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I think it's not too many teams out there that's going to be willing to give him a max, you know, and have him redshirt a year and then come back and you know how he's going to be. I think the only team desperate enough to do that is New York Knicks because they need something bad. I think the Knicks are willing to give him a max deal still, is have him redshirt. Then, okay, if they do that, who they going to get to just, you know, to burn out while he's sitting out that season? I don't think Kyrie's going to go to the Knicks by himself.
Well, I don't know what teams you talking about that wouldn't give him a max deal, but whatever teams you talking about, I think they just as retarded if they thinking in that sense, because no matter – he's the most – okay, you got Steph, the deadliest three-pointer ever. You know what I'm saying? But you talking about this guy right here, he's the deadliest ever at mid-range and just about everything else. You know what I'm saying? He's not a – how can I put it? He's not going to scout over you like LeBron. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to dominate you inside like that. He got finesse to his game. And he can finesse you any kind of way he wants to. He scores whenever just about he wants to. So why wouldn't a team go out there and give a man – if you get hurt, you didn't see, if you follow basketball, if you follow any sport, anybody that's coming off an injury, any athlete that's coming off an injury – any kind of injury, they change, they tweak their game to fit into whatever's going on around them, so they can still.
Yeah, but if you look at the history of guys that then came back off Achilles injuries, man, it don't look too good. And like I said, look, I'm the biggest KD fan out there. I want him to come back and be the way he was, but man, that Achilles, man, affects everything. That's the most devastating injury a basketball player can have. And I just don't think that he's going to come back the same, man. I don't think he's going to be as explosive anymore. I mean, he's still able to get his shot up over you. That's the good thing. But KD, like you said, he has a finesse game. He drives it to the basket. He creates his own shots off the dribble. How effective is he going to be at doing all that, you know, coming back off of a torn Achilles? So that's what I'm saying. I don't know how he's going to be. Is he going to still be the 30-a-game scorer like that, you know? So,
man,
I need to see for myself.
If that guy is, I think his game, it may be even more lethal. I forgot what player, I'm going to remember it, but I forgot what player had a devastating,
Paul George, that's different though. He tore his ACL.
No.
He broke his leg. That's different than the Achilles.
But I'm not talking about Paul George. I'm talking about
who you talking about?
Ray Allen. Ray Allen didn't hurt himself. I don't believe he just tweaked his game. His game.
I don't remember Ray Allen having a major injury.
That's what I just said that he didn't have an injury, but he tweaked his game to where. He didn't slide when he first came into the league. All he did was slash and get to the basket. Then he
tweaked his shot
game.
Jumpers too.
Yeah, but then he became one. His jumper wasn't always what it was.
Allen's always had a three ball. I can't say that. Now my brother-in-law was listening. He'd be calling in right now defending Ray Allen on that one. No, Ray Allen always had an all-around game, even when he was younger.
He
became more of a jump shooter as he got older. That's when he stopped going to the bathroom. He never really had no major injuries to tweak his game.
Right. But his jumper was not as devastating as it was as he got older. He practiced a lot on that jumper because it wasn't like that at first all the time.
You got to go back and look at some Ray Allen clips on YouTube when he was younger, man. I can't agree with you on that one. Ray Allen always been able to shoot. He's always been able to shoot. He's always been one of the best three-point shooters in the history of NBA. Always. I can't agree with you on that one.
Yeah. I just remember. I remember what I remember, and it wasn't always just like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't always just like that.
Yeah. Well, all right, man. Well, Jay, hey, man, it was good talking to you, man. Let me go and get off this line, open it up. Hopefully some more people will be calling. But thank you for your input, of course. Always knowledgeable. And call back anytime, man. Tuesdays and Saturdays.
You already know. It was good speaking with you.
All right, man. Have a good one, man.
You too.
All right. Yeah, that was my man Jay. You know, he be coming with some good information stuff, but I can't agree with him on the Ray Allen situation. Ray Allen always been a good shooter. He's always had a three ball, and back in his younger days, he slashed. He had complete game. Only thing Ray Allen went strong in was defense. He never was really a great defender. But offensively, he gave it to you every which way, man. He could shoot. He could slash. He'd go to the basket. He became more of a jump shooter as he got older in age. But I just want to give you some stats from Game 5. You know, Steph Curry finished with 31 points on 5 of 14 three-pointers. Klay Thompson, 26 points. He hit 7 threes. See, I think those guys need to do that tonight. I think Steph Clay, Max, both need to hit at least 7 threes tonight. And that's going to be tough because I'm pretty sure they're going to be running at him. They're going to run him off that three-point line. But the thing is, you know, Steph has unlimited range. So he'll fire from 35 feet. And for the most part, be accurate with it. And like I said, DeMarcus Cousins, he showed up the other night. 14 points, 6 rebounds. Draymond Green doing what Draymond does. He's not going to really give you a lot of points, but he's going to give you everything else. I mean, he almost had a triple-double. 10 points, 10 boards, 8 assists. They need something like that from out of him tonight. And the biggest thing of all, they need their bench to produce. I mean, you're at home, fellas. You are playing in Oakland, your last game at Oracle, at home. Show up tonight. Andre Iguodala, you was a finals MVP. Show up tonight. I mean, I know you older and, you know, you guarding Kawhi Leonard. You know, there's not much you can do on that end with him. But how about make Kawhi Leonard guard you a little bit? Be aggressive tonight. Take it to him. Take it at Kawhi. Who knows? Maybe you might force him into foul trouble. So Andre Iguodala, he need to show up. You know, and then like I said, you know, Kevin Durant, he gave him that boost, man. Made his first three shots, all threes. And it's crazy because who knows? He probably was on his way to a 30-point game the way he was shooting. But he tried to plant and go off the dribble and that Achilles just snapped. That was it. No more KD. So he sparked them to that win. But as Gary said earlier, Kawhi Leonard, he didn't have a great first half. His first three quarters weren't that great. But that last quarter, in them last 6 minutes of the game, Kawhi took over. He made like 10 straight points. He's balling out. You know what I mean? He was balling out, man. I was expecting, you know, after the end of that game, I was expecting Toronto to close him out. And I was expecting to hear that everywhere, all on Twitter, memes, all that. Because he would have guided them to a championship. And he ended up finishing the game with 26 points, 12 boards, and 6 assists. Kyle Lowry showed up the other night. He had 18 points and 6 assists. Mark Gasol, who's been killing Boogie Cousins. I mean, like I said, Boogie finally showed up the other night and gave him, you know, some kind of competition on the offensive end. Other than that, Mark Gasol been destroying Boogie Cousins. He had 17 and 8. And like I said, Serge Ibaka, 15 points, 6 rebounds off the bench, couple block shots, defense, clogging the lane, not letting the Warriors get any easy buckets. Serge Ibaka has been doing the job. Fred VanVleet, he's been consistent off the bench for him this whole playoff run. I don't see no different in tonight's game. I think Fred VanVleet, and I see Serge Ibaka doing the same thing, coming in and putting up numbers, helping the Raptors to win tonight. I got the Raptors winning tonight. Maybe them both. They beat them in what? Game 3 and 4 in Oakland. Golden State didn't show me anything in those games that's going to tell me that they're going to win tonight. They played them good in Oakland. And like I said, this is the last game at Oracle. So Golden State need to show up and show out tonight. Questions and answers. Who's calling?
My name is Herman, and I'm from Seattle, Washington.
What's going on, Herman? How you doing, buddy?
No complaints whatsoever, sir. How you feel?
I feel good, man. What you thinking about Golden State and in their last game at Oracle? You're out there. How do you feel about this game tonight?
I'm feeling like the Warriors are exponentially depleted, and you know they're without their biggest guns. You know, like I said, they have a it seems like they've lost their way since that 74-9 team. You know, they did it without KD, but it seems like they don't have that same sauce that made up that other team. So, you know, they don't know how to do it without them. You know, is what it looks like to me. But you know,
I think they're outgunned. I think have too much. I think the Raptors have too much for them to deal with. The matchups aren't great. Kawhi's just going nuts because Andre Iguodala's older and he can't really stay in front of him and guard him. Because you know Andre Iguodala used to be a great defender. And I believe this series you're seeing his age.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I agree with that wholeheartedly, my friend. But the thing is that I feel like Steph Curry, you know, he hasn't really – in the last couple of years, it's become really easy to, you know, to sleep on him with the injuries and, you know, the streaky play here and there, you know. But I think as far as one player that can make the whole game move right or left, I think it's him.
I agree with that. But and Steph, you know, he hasn't had great finals these last couple of years. You know, he have a couple of games here and there, and it's like with KD being out, I was expecting Steph to be balling out. You know, the way he balled Houston when KD went out, Steph Curry looked like the old Steph Curry. And then they just dog-walked Portland and my boy Damian Lillard. So I was expecting that coming into the finals. But, you know, with Kawhi and, you know, all those other guys, man, Lowry and all those other guys, they playing, you know, together as a unit. And it just seemed like, you know, no matter what Steph does, it just doesn't make a difference. They don't have the firepower to deal with the Raptors.
Okay, absolutely. Like I said, I can agree with that as well. But I would never ever count out a Steve Kerr led Golden State Warriors team that is, you know, 3-time champions.
So how do you feel about tonight?
I want to my gut tells me that Toronto just brings it all to a close tonight, and you know the Raptors get their first ring. It's how I feel.
I completely agree with you. But you already know, man, since you're on this phone with me, you know we got to talk about those guys up northeast. You know we got to say something about them, man. So,
okay, well, let's have it.
Okay, so how you feeling about them, man? How you feeling about the moves they made on defense? I think their defense is going to be strong. I think this year the defense is going to actually carry them more than the offense. I'm not really worried about the loss of Gronkowski. Because they proved they can win a Super Bowl without him. Don't get me wrong. I do got a feeling that Gronk is going to come back towards the end of the year. What are you thinking?
I I don't think Bronk comes back. But my attitude towards the offense, oddly, in this case, is that, you know, I'm worried about not enough moves being made at the wide receiver spot, because, you know, Demaryius Thomas coming off the Achilles, and, you know, all these unproven people, the new guy that they N'Keal Harry, you know, unproven guy, Edelman's 1 year older. You know, I don't see enough things to be afraid of on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, the bright spot is always the running backs, man. They got a stable of good running backs. I like that rookie they have out of Alabama, Damian Harris. They saying that he can catch and run. Sony Michel just had a knee procedure done, but they saying he'll be back for training camp. That's not good news, because you know how running backs are, man. Once they get cut on, that's going to, like, sap them down to nothing. And but we still got Burkhead.
Yes, sir.
We still got James White.
One or two games. One or two games of Burkhead per year.
You're right. Now, they killing me at tight end, man. I mean, I like that they got Ben Watts back. I think Ben Watson still got some in the tank, even though he's going to miss the first four games. But I believe he still got some in the tank.
Ultimately, that's going to help him the first four games off.
Mm-hmm. And they just picked up some guy today out of Detroit. Some guy named his last name Anderson. I don't know who he is, but he been in the league for 3 years, and he's with the Detroit Lions. So they just made a trade for him.
Can't buy it. That's all it is.
That's what
I'm
thinking.
So, you know, I would have loved to have seen them make a move to get that guy out of Minnesota, or, you know, some such person like that. But, you know, like I said, there doesn't seem to be a lot for me to I don't think anybody on the offense is going to be a person that is getting game planned for.
Well, they're saying, in those OTAs, they were saying that Harry is, you know, looking good with Brady, but they was talking about how Stephon Gilmore was shutting him down. And that's kind of a good thing. You know, he could play against one of the best corners. That's going to help his game. And then they were saying that N'Keal Harry, he's been working out with Brady and Edelman personally. So that's a good sign, because Brady normally doesn't do stuff like that.
Well, he does it with Amendola and Edelman.
Yeah, but not a rookie, though.
Not a rookie. That's correct. That is absolutely so.
And, go ahead.
I mean, my issue with N'Keal Harry is that even on the college level, the D1 college level, he never separated. His whole style of football is predicated on outworking the defender for the ball. Now, he goes steps up one level, and everybody's strong. He's going to get everybody's number one tall defender, and he's not going to be able to just muscle the ball from everybody. So I'm hoping that his game, his set of skills translates to the next level.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. It's another thing they're saying is, you know, Josh Gordon may be eligible to come back. I mean, we don't know yet, but they're saying it's a possibility. That's why they, you know, put the tender on him so nobody could pick him up. They're saying there's a chance that he may be able to come back.
But can you depend on Josh Gordon for anything at all?
No. No. I mean, we can hope. We can hope he finally gets it together, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is with Josh Gordon. It's like, you know what, enjoy him while he's here and don't think no more about it. And that's the strategy. I mean, that's the mindset going forward with him, is that whatever he gives you is gravy at this point.
Yeah, I agree. So you don't think Gronk's going to come back, huh?
No, sir. I think Gronk's a done deal. You know, what's it, 3-4 back surgeries. He's got 3 Super Bowl rings. I mean, what does he need to come and, you know, come back for the veteran minimum for? What does he need to do that for? Why?
Well, I don't think it'll be the veteran minimum. It's still what? When he left, they owed him $10 million.
You think they're going to pay him that amount of money, losing that
amount
of steam?
No, not the Patriots.
Okay, no, that's not the Patriot way, my man. So I'm going to say, you know, he's coming back and he's getting a shave at very least.
Yeah, yeah.
And I say, why not?
I guess the reason why I think that is because, you know, Willie McGinnis said that there's a chance he could come back, and a lot of the former Ty Law, a lot of the older Patriots who would have inside information, you know, said that he basically don't want to deal with the OTAs and training camp and playing a full season. Because think about it, Gronk normally give you like 10 games anyway. So I figure,
right. Okay,
if he get that itch, come back like the last, you know, three games of the season when they playing, you know, the division rivals at the end, and, you know, get warmed up for the playoff run. So that,
well,
I guess that's kind of why I'm
$10 million. That's $10 million for that, you know, 10 or 12 games, and he's not the guy he used to be. So I don't see Coach Belichick doing it that way. But, you know, if it happens, then, you know, I welcome him back with open arms.
Oh yeah, definitely. The Kyle Rudolph situation: the Vikings went ahead and extended him. They signed him.
Okay.
That was the issue.
Of course. Yeah.
So they went ahead and signed him. I was hoping for that deal too, because that would have made them, like, you know, real good. And then they were saying about N'Keal Harry, they were saying since he's so big, they might, you know, kind of play him in the seam and stuff, play him the way they played Gronk.
Okay.
They might try to do that with him. And that would help, you know, having him match up against linebackers and things like that. He would have an advantage then, but I agree with you as far as, like, cornerbacks and things like that, they'd be able to have the speed to keep up with him.
Okay. Like I said, I could see it happening. I mean, Josh McDaniels, of course, is an innovator, and you know, I look forward to seeing something like that, because they're going to have to bring forth the trickeration, because where I'm concerned, they don't have enough weapons on offense to make anybody afraid.
Yeah. Okay. So ultimately, where do you see them finishing? What do you see their record being? I'm going, of course, first in the AFC East, and I'm going 11-5, 12-4, one of those two records.
I see your 11-5 and lower you a 10-6, but still winning the East easy.
Yeah, because it's still no competition in the East, man. Until they,
yes sir.
And I like my man from the Jets, the quarterback from
Gates?
USC. The quarterback. What's his name? USC. You know who I'm talking about.
His name is
right
Mark
now.
Sanchez. I don't know.
No. No, Sanchez gone, man.
Okay, well, you know, complete disrespect. I don't know anything about any Jets. I don't know.
Man. Something else, man, since you out in that area, why won't they get a Seattle Supersonics team back out there, man? I don't get it, man. That's one of the best NBA franchises. I love the colors and everything. And it's like they moved them away and never brought them back. And Key Arena's still there from what I understand.
Key Arena's still there, but that only seats, you know, what, 30,000 people or something like that. So, you know, it's not worth as much trouble as it'll cost you to get that all up. And, you know, that was an old stadium. I can't remember what year it was built, but they want a new stadium here if they're gonna, you know, if they're gonna bother with creating another Sonics team. It's the issue. So they're stuck on a lot of things, and, you know, traffic's really bad here already. It's an infrastructure thing. It's a stadium thing. There are a lot of factors at play that keeps the Sonics from coming back here. But it'll happen.
Okay.
I mean, Seattle's is such a burgeoning city that, you know, you can't really skip this market like that.
Yeah. I agree with that. So do the Seattle Seahawks fans be giving you stuff there, man?
Oh, every day. I mean, you know, I walk around with my hat or my whatever I might have on that day, and it's, you know, and it's cheater this and it's cheater that, and, you know, and, oh, if they didn't have Brady, and, you know, it's just, you know, I've heard it all, man.
I hear worse than you. Look, I deliver to my stores. When I walk in the store, fuck the Patriots. That's why I literally hear.
Harsh.
Yeah.
The thing is, man, at this point, you know, I mean, once I find out it's, you know, some Cowboys or Raiders or whatever fan, you know, why, we don't have no business addressing people of that nature, okay? You know, a lion doesn't concern himself with the opinions of an ant. So what? I don't let Cowboys or Raiders fans talk to me, okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, man. One last thing I got to ask you, man, because you
hit me.
You be tripping, man. Are you going to a game this year?
Man, they don't never touch the West Coast, and they're not coming to Indianapolis. So if I can eke out a way to get to the East Coast, you know, I'm a brand new father now, so I don't know if that'll happen. So we'll see.
Oh, man. Wait. Congratulations, man. Really?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes. 8 weeks ago, I'm a father now.
Oh my God! Welcome to the club, man. Hey, I'm sending one to college here in the next few months.
Oh my goodness! Good for you. Good for you, my man. Listen, all the best to you, man. Love the show. Love the show.
Hey, Herm, call anytime, man. Anytime. Thursday and Saturday, 7:30, Eastern, 6:30 Central. So what would that be? 4:30 Pacific.
That's correct. 4:30. So you know it's only 3 hour difference.
All right, man. Well, hey, if you ever around at 4:30 on Thursday and Saturday, man, give me a call.
I absolutely will, man. All the best to you. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Herm.
Goodbye.
Have a good one, buddy. Man, my boy Herm, man, my fellow Patriot. It's good talking to him, man. I've been waiting on this guy to call me forever. He finally called me, so that's cool, man. That's real cool. And congratulations on the baby, man. Wow. I didn't ask you if it was a boy or girl. Because it seems like girls ruling the world now, man. Everybody pushing out these girls, man. You know, I got two of them, so, you know, wasn't fortunate enough to get no boy. So my best bet now is to, you know, when my baby girls have their lives situated and stuff, to give me a grandson, man. That's my last hope. Only boy that resides in my house besides me is my dog. So, guys, give me a call, man. What you think about all this? What you think about these NBA finals? You want to talk a little football? You see me and Herm, we went off topic. It doesn't have to be the topic I throw out. If you guys have any topics related to sports, music, entertainment, movies, TV series, whatever, call in. We could talk about it. And, you know, like I said, he figures Toronto's going to close it tonight. I think Toronto will close out tonight too, man. I just don't see the Warriors having enough. You know, like I said, their bench is non-existent. Quinn Cook, I mean, what is Quinn giving you? Quinn Cook not giving you nothing? Who knows? I mean, you would expect, and that's disappointing about the Warriors too. It's like the benches are normally known to play well at home and not really give you anything on the road. But Golden State bench not even give you nothing at home or on the road. Whereas the Raptors bench, they're performing on the road and at home. It doesn't make a difference. So the weaponry the Raptors have is just too much for the Warriors, man. I honestly don't see Clay or Steph both putting up over 60 points by tonight. I don't think it's going to happen because they're going to be closing them out on them threes. They're going to be running guys at them. They're going to be running guys at Clay, and they're going to be running guys at Steph. They went to that box one formation, and it was pretty effective against Steph Curry. Fred VanVleet does a decent job on Steph Curry. He bodies him up. He pesters him. He gets in his face. He even steals the ball from him sometimes. So they hold him. I mean, they called up, you know, they made a couple calls in Toronto the other night, you know, when they were holding Steph while he's running around screens. I expect them to do that again tonight. If you can get away with it, do it. And I think Fred VanVleet is going to definitely do that to Steph Curry tonight. He's going to pester him. He's going to be in his face. He's going to hold him. I would. If I could get away with it, the ref don't make the call. I'm going to hold him too. Because you don't want Steph to go nuts. You don't want him to have one of them vintage Steph games where he hit like 10 threes. Because if he's to do something like that and Clay give you about 5 threes, then we going to a game 7. And if it goes to a game 7, I don't know who the hell going to win. I'm not even going to make the prediction because game 7 means all that pressure is back on the Raptors to close them out. So I just believe that the Raptors are going to have a complete game tonight. They're going to play good offensively. They're going to play good defensively. And then this man right here. And we're going to be hearing that probably the rest of the summer. Memes about Kawhi and his laugh. And then, damn it, they're going to show Drake celebrating. I can't stand Drake, the ambassador of the Toronto Raptors. But they're going to show him celebrating. I mean, I don't mind they show the Sheik. You know, this one guy, man, I don't know his name. I call him the Sheik because he always wearing that turban. He's, I think he's like the top Toronto Raptors fan. He always sits behind the basket in Toronto. And he always have great seats when he's on the road, too. You know, he travels with the team. I'll call him the Sheik because he always wearing that turban. He's a tour fan than Drake. At least he go to the road games, too. Drake, it seems like he just be in Toronto. So, guys, if you want to talk about any of this stuff, give me a call. 1-347-843-4939. You want to talk about these finals? You want to talk about, you know, recap the last game? Yeah, I agree with you. Toronto are fair weather fans. Yeah, and they are a hockey town. I mean, Canada. But, you know, if they do win, I mean, you got to be happy for them in a way because they never won an NBA championship. And it'd be weird because the NBA championship would reside out of this country where basketball was invented, America. The NBA championship would reside in Canada, which is a hockey country. But, you know, I mean, hey, it's always good to have some fresh blood every now and then. And I like Kawhi Leonard, man. You know, the Claw. He's a monster, man. Both sides of the ball, defensively, offensively. And he'd be the first player since LeBron James to win finals MVP on two different teams. He did it with the Spurs. And if they win tonight, I'm going to say it's going to be because of him. And he'll definitely win the MVP tonight for the Raptors. But guys, like I said, if you want to call in and talk about any of this, give me a call, 1-347-843-4939.
Often I ask myself why the Lord picked me. I mean, my city and family so rich in history. Greatness in my DNA, it's time for y'all epiphany. Back me to the crowd, though, I gotta lead the symphony. A big difference when you make it and when you arrive. These days, the finest things sit me through the sides. Open doors up for my fam like some suicides. Cause we will never ride a wave, not immunized. Just a lot of cats with money, we ain't unified. And many say doing the same thing Judas tried. Losing sight, chasing coins, what a foolish stride. I try to show my true colors and I do with pride. Feel my success be putting holes on some relationships. A lot of people I love and be having patience with. Always problems about who I be going places with. And I be worried about who I should feel the safest with. A little confused, I can sense my kindness get abused. Nurture situations different, gotta pick and choose. I call my granny, she tell me I could get rid of fools. Then tell me why I'm so special while cooking dinner food. I find solace in being alone at family functions. When you get older, you see the flaws in your family function. I guess the memories of how it was give me something. Like how my upbringing made me a man of...
All right. That was my man, Damian Dame Lillard Dollar. He played point guard for the Portland Trail Blazers, one of the best point guards in the league who really don't get a lot of pub because he's in the West. But as I said before, if he was in the East, he would be an all-NBA type point guard. But he also raps too, and in my opinion, he's the best athlete rapper in the game today. You don't believe me? Check him out on YouTube. Dame Dollar is his rap name, Damian Lillard. But I want to now talk about this upcoming NBA draft. But first, it's this website I go to, and it's called On This Day in Sports. And basically, it gives you a history of what happened on the current day in the past. And so this might be some karma for Golden State. But on this day, June 13th, 2017, the Golden State Warriors beat the Cleveland Cavaliers to win their second NBA championship. Maybe that's some karma. On this day, 2 years ago, the Warriors won the NBA championship for the second time. Tonight, they playing the Raptors basically to save their season, to force a game seven back in Toronto. I'm sorry. Maybe that might be some good karma. Maybe they might win tonight and force a game seven in Toronto, where all the pressure is going to go over to the Raptors if they can't close it out tonight. So now I want to talk about this NBA draft coming up. I had started last show, but I ended up running out of time. And guys, like I said, if you want to call in and talk about any of these topics I'm throwing out here, or some topics you might have, you know, that pertain to sports, entertainment, music, you can call in and present them. You just got to, you know, let your voice be heard, man. 1-347-843-4939. Call in. Let your voice be heard. Let's talk about, you know, some topics that you might have, or the topics I'm presenting. 1-347-843-4939. All right. It's this website that I go to called NBADraft.net. You know, I trust them. They're usually fairly accurate with their predictions. And, you know, like I said in my last show, of course, everyone knows Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, they're locks at the first picks. Now, starting at three is where it could be anybody. You know, right now, at number three, they got R.J. Barrett going to the Knicks. You know, he was the other guy on Duke. He's from Canada, so I'm pretty sure he'll be happy if the Raptors win tonight, being that he's a Canadian. But they have him going to the Knicks. He's okay. To me, he's kind of selfish. He's mainly a scorer, not really a great defender. He's athletic. I think he'd be a good fit for the Knicks. You know, I can't really project him to be a superstar. I don't see superstar when I see him. I see a good NBA player. Now, this change for the number four pick, we don't know what the hell the Lakers are going to do. Are they going to trade that pick to the Pelicans, you know, as part of that AD trade, or are they going to keep it? You know, where it is now is that the Pelicans want Kyle Kuzma. The package that they have right now, the Lakers have, that they present to the Pelicans for AD, is Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, the number four draft pick. Lakers doing everything in their power to try to keep Kyle Kuzma, which I would be doing too, because Kyle Kuzma's a baller, and I want to keep him and pair him with LeBron and AD. But they saying that the Pelicans either want Kuzma or they want the Lakers to shop around that number four pick and get them a good player, not a draft pick, but a good player that they could trade to the Pelicans, that they could add to that package. If they can't do that, then they want Kyle Kuzma. So they say the Lakers been shopping around this number four pick trying to get a decent player. If I'm the Lakers, I'm doing everything possible not to give up Kyle Kuzma. Because out of Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, and Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma's the best player. So I would try to keep Kyle Kuzma. But in the mock draft, they had Lakers taking Kobe White, that point guard, 6'5 point guard out of North Carolina with the wild hair. He's pretty good. Good size to be a point guard. I don't know how he would fit with the Lakers. If they trade Lonzo Ball, then I guess he could step in at that point guard spot. I mean, he's a good player. He could score, he could pass, and like I said, he has big size for a point guard. The Lakers definitely could use a shooter. I could see somebody like Bradley Beal or maybe Klay Thompson if he decide that he wants to lead the Warriors. And Klay Thompson's father, he won championships with the Lakers, Mikal Thompson. So it seemed like that would be a logical fit. And he could play alongside LeBron. I believe LeBron will have the respect of Klay Thompson, knowing that he's a champion and knowing that he competed against him. He's won championship against him, that he would give Klay the ball, you know, and allow Klay to flourish. And I think that he could flourish with LeBron. LeBron's a pass-first guy. Especially with LeBron getting up in age, you know, I believe he wants other guys to score, you know, and take the load off of him. But we don't know if Klay is going to stay or go. I mean, you have some rumors saying that Klay wants to leave. Then you have some rumors saying that he's going to stay. So we don't know. At that number five spot, they got the Cavs taking DeAndre Hunter. He plays small forward at Virginia. He's pretty good, athletic. I don't know. I don't know, you know, how he'll fit. I mean, Cleveland's just not a good team anyway. I mean, they just picked up my man out of Alabama last year, the point guard. I cannot remember his name. What's his name? What's that point guard? Oh, Colin Sexton. Yeah, they just picked up Colin Sexton. So, and they still got Kevin Love. I'm pretty sure they're going to be trying to trade Kevin Love. I would, because that's a lot of money that they got on the books. Yeah, they got a lot of money on the books with Kevin Love. So he'd be a contract I'd be willing to get rid of. But if he stay, then they need to build around him. You still got Tristan Thompson there. Cleveland suck, man. I wouldn't want to go there if I was DeAndre Hunter, to be honest with you. So I'm going to just bypass them. I don't even want to say anything else about Cleveland. Phoenix, they have them taking that point guard out of Vanderbilt, Darius Garland. I didn't know much about this kid. I think I remember talking about him last show, and I looked up his highlights on YouTube, and he seems pretty solid. He got good size to be an NBA point guard. He's like 6'3". He can shoot. He can create. He can go off the dribble.